Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We properly make great efforts to take the gospel to the whole world. Many noble deeds and sacrifices are being made by many people in this effort. God will bless them for it. And at the same time, while it is not true of all, many are losing their children. Leaders in the church have suffered such losses. And you compare the number of small children in Bible study with the number of young people in the teenage and adult Bible classes, and you can see that somewhere along the line, many of them have become dropouts. Faithful brethren who labor among the youth warn of an increasing apostasy among the young, the lack of genuine spirituality, or growing biblical ignorance, even disrespect for biblical authority, and maybe the inability or the unwillingness to stand for the truth even when they're taught. And again, we want to say this is not an indictment of all, but it is true of many, even many who have been reared in what we consider to be Christian homes. And from what are they being lost? To what are they being lost? Friend, they're being lost from the church, from the truth, from the efforts to restore New Testament Christianity in this generation. They are being lost to other religions and to denominations, even to non-religion, anti-religion, atheistic and worldly pursuits. Many who are retained are lukewarm and indifferent. Some have estimated that as high as 50% of our young people reared in the church, so to speak, are leaving. What is being lost are precious souls. And these are souls with good opportunity to go to heaven that could have settled upon a course of life rather than the one that leads to hell. And why is this drain taking place? And can we plug it before others go that way? Some years ago, I spent several months inquiring and reading and interviewing and questioning young people and their parents and their teachers. Anyone who has much to do with the spiritual life of the young, seeking answers to this problem. An analysis of my findings show that there are a number of factors that are contributing to the loss of our young people. Basically, the attitude and action of the home dominates the scene. The fault lies there more than any other place. I know we like to blame everybody and everything other than ourselves as to where blame belongs. But there's no profit in that approach. The home is not the sole cause, to be sure, but it is probably the prime cause of the loss of the young. And we need to take this medicine and to do something about it. Parents cannot just play church, putting other things first, and then expect their young to put God first. It seldom happens. Parents have failed so often to teach by word and by example what a Christian should be. God placed the prime responsibility of spiritual training of the child on parents. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. We are taught to bring up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Abraham taught his children to love the Lord, Genesis 18 and verse 19. The Jews did also, Deuteronomy 11 and verse 19. We need to study, not just passively read these verses. The first business of every parent is to see to it that the child knows and does his duty to God. Parents display such attitudes that are sickening and sometimes outright disgusting. Oh, they say they're only young once. Let them have their fun and good times. Friend, we need to learn that no time is a good time that does not put God first. To indulge the young is detrimental to them. They become ill-equipped to meet their sacred duties. This attitude implies that it's unpleasant to serve God. This attitude implies that it's just a deprivation. It suggests that there is plenty of time someday to learn about God. To say they're young only once suggests that possibly God didn't know about that. And yet God says in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Friend, can we rear a child 15 or so years in the atmosphere where God and the church and truth and Christianity and morality are secondary to school and games and television and pleasure and movies, and then expect them to be grounded in first things first? Children are taught at home what is of prime importance. Can we allow children to pursue social interest, to conform to the crowd, to seek popularity, to engage in unchristian recreation and lascivious behavior, filling their minds with the moral trash produced by the degenerate minds of the movie, magazine, and television industries, and expect them to love the pure and noble and moral and clean things of life? Can we hold out to them the idea that success is financial success and acceptance and worldly recognition, and expect them to follow the Christ who never sought after such things? Too many parents have neglected to teach and demonstrate in their own lives the loyalty God expects from a Christian. And yet somehow, they think their children will seek what is good above all else. Yes, the problem of losing our young people is first and foremost, above all else, a bad reflection on the home. And some young people are lost when they enter into circumstances that discourage Christianity. Now, sometimes these circumstances are unavoidable, such as when they might be forced from home, maybe into the armed forces. The trials are hard, and they need every encouragement, and they need our prayers. Many are lost, or at least show their lack of concern for Christ, during the years when they seek higher education at colleges and universities, where God and His will are considered irrelevant and stupid. You take a young boy or girl out of high school and set him at the feet of some so-called wise scoffer and mocker who takes shots at God all the time, teaching infidelity as if he knew everything. It certainly has a detrimental effect on many young people. They hear the truth ridiculed, and they don't know enough about the truth to resist the error, nor are they in a position to be able to defend it even if they were informed. The devil has many avenues and many of his servants in the chairs of learning in the educational institutions. And others are lost by disregarding the Lord's teaching regarding marriage. They marry outside the church, and they're further drawn away from the truth. They ignore God's law on marriage and divorce, too often having been led astray by false teachers in the church regarding this subject, by the way. And once finding themselves in a bad circumstance, they remain there rather than please God and repent of their sinful state and come out of it. Often young people are subjected to a divided home religiously, or one or both parents being indifferent toward God. This has destroyed the faith that could and should have been nurtured. And still others become the victims of those who constantly berate the Lord's church. They criticize it. They belittle it. They reduce it to nothing more than a denomination among denominations that needs restructuring. These liberal and lying new lights often speak of the church as being out of date and answering questions nobody is asking, lacking love and full of tradition, hypocritical and stagnant. How can any person constantly hear the satanic barrage and have respect for the church? They lose interest when they are convinced of such a harangue. Such critics often cater to and they adopt and they admire the message and the methods of denominations. They like to impress the young with their sensationalism and their emotionalism and their promotionalism. And they engage in jive talk and unorthodox dress and conduct. They first create, then they exploit what they call a generation gap. They wean the young away from the wise counsel of faithful parents and godly elders and sound gospel preachers. They call for an abandonment to the past, whatever it was, an adoption of the new, whatever that might be. Parents and church leaders and teachers too often sit idly by, complacent, gullible, naive, even cooperating with such things, and uproot the sound and solid religious heritage our young deserve. That heritage includes a faith in God, a love for family, a love for the church that you read about in the Bible, the sanctity of the home, conformity to God's standards of morality. Too many young people are being served huge helpings of modernism and immorality and compromise and permissiveness and foul speech, Marxism, anarchy, rebellion, a down with everything and up with nothing attitude. And this do-your-own-thing attitude has captured the souls of many. And this go-along-to-get-along sickness is often evident among not only older people, but many young people that turn away from God. These critics of God's ways are sometimes politicians whose personal lives are in shambles, or educators who worship at the altar of their own wisdom, or the social gospel clergymen who do not have much regard for the soul of man or his eternal destiny. Some act more like brotherhood fun and game directors who are called youth ministers, who think it is the work of the church to provide playgrounds and gymnasiums and pleasure trips, and they put their emphasis there. And these so-called youth seminars, they've been little more than sessions to convince the youth that the elderships and gospel preachers and parents who hold to the Word of God are irrelevant. Too many youth leaders impose the adventuresome, inquisitive spirit of youth to exploring paths that have repeatedly proven digressive. These efforts of godly and determined Christian parents have no more deadly enemy among the young than these flighty, flippant, cute, know-it-all youth workers who constantly ape liberal digressives and degrade the Lord's church and ridicule the nobility of the past. The church has a role regarding parents and youth. It's the same role that it sustains to all people, young and old. It is not to assume the work of the parents and the home, or to provide recreation and secular education, and it ought not coddle and condone sins regardless of who is involved. And rather than thinking the answer lies with singles classes and single again classes and youth seminars where brainwashing goes on, weekend retreats that take the young away from the Lord's Day congregational worship in favor of so-called lakeside worship or something like that, the church has the God-given task of preaching and teaching the same saving gospel to everyone. To preach the word by reproving, rebuking, and exhorting, that is the work of the church. Ignorance of the word of God and the lack of respect for it is at the heart and the base of the loss of our young people. It would be better to study the word rather than to engage in so-called problem solving where the participants simply share ignorance. The church deserves the full support and cooperation with every home in assisting in these kind of efforts. And we must add that parents have a duty to other parents. It is sinful to place stumbling blocks before young people. Parents and their young are responsible for their influence. Friend, it is not merely my own business what my young people do and where they go and how they dress and what they are allowed to do. Inasmuch as young people influence one another, and peer pressure is so heavy, parents have the responsibility to see to it that their young set a good example. It is not unheard that young people sometimes who are trying to do what is right, and parents who are trying to train them right, meet with the most aggravating opposition from other so-called Christian parents and young people who are content to follow the ways of the world. And we've heard it said, "Oh, it's nobody's business but ours if my children attend the dance." Friend, that's as false as a $3 bill. Every member of the church, parent, child, elderships, preachers, all are affected adversely. We need to ask if the influence of our home is contributing to the cause of Christ and encouraging Christ-like conduct, or is it as often as not like the influence of the sinful world? Every young person is a gift from God. None can be lost without it being an eternal loss. Experience warns that many do fall away. Let us resolve that we shall make that number as small as possible. Teach the young. Show the young what being a Christian really is. Follow the teaching of the Bible, not the ways of the world.
Show them how to resist the influences that are evil when they cannot be avoided. But when these influences can be avoided, with parental concern and teaching and guidance, every effort should be made to avoid them. There is not one young person we can afford to lose. Are you willing for your son or your daughter to go to hell? Certainly you're not. So just how studious and diligent are your efforts at home and in the local church to see to it that they follow Christ? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.